Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Travis, it is Monday, and obviously the day after what was a very unique Sunday in the National Football League, but we're going to spend the majority of the show talking basketball today. We'll get into that in just a moment. First off, the story that has kind of captivated the national sports world, Steelers-Patriots yesterday. It was a showdown that once again lived up to the billing. That's what's been so great about this NFL season. The Patriots and the Steelers was pegged as the game of the week, two of the best in the AFC. It lived up to the billing. A week after, the Rams and the Eagles lived up to the billing. The NFL has been very competitive over these last couple of weeks. Yesterday, a little bit of controversy at the end of the game as Roethlisberger connects with Jesse James. He does not get into the end zone. Well, he did, but he didn't. On the review, they rule it wasn't a catch. All in all, it was a terrific game.
Great game. Two of the best teams in the AFC, home field throughout, basically on the line, and New England goes in there, and they catch a break, and they get the win. And I know everybody wants to say that was a catch, but by rule, that's not a catch. So the Steelers lose, and then Ben makes a mistake there in the end. He has to throw that ball away or just throw a fade route towards the back of the end zone. He throws into triple coverage, and New England picks it off.
You know, yeah, looking at it, you're right. It is the right call. It's a stupid rule, but it's the right call. And I think for most football fans, NFL fans, you hate the idea of the Patriots winning on a technicality once again. Seems like they're always the beneficiary of these types of calls. Dumb rule. You can't look at that and say it's not a catch. Because it is a catch. I mean, and again, there's two things that really bother me with the game of football today. I don't know what a catch is anymore, just like I don't know what targeting is.
No, I don't know either. The Patriots got away with this one against the Jets earlier in the season where Jenkins got a touchdown pass. They came back, overruled it, and New England goes on to win that game. So two of those calls benefit New England this season. But yeah, I still don't know what a catch is.
Yeah, I mean, again, looking at the rules and going back and looking at the replay over and over, yeah, I mean, I guess it was the right call. But again, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the 60-minute football game, which was epic. We're talking about, you know, the final 30 seconds of it. Still, with that being said, I don't mind the Steelers going for the touchdown or the win. Don't mind it at all. There's maybe two or three quarterbacks, four or five quarterbacks, I guess, at the absolute most, that I would trust the game with the ball in their hands. And Ben Roethlisberger is one of them. Very underrated, surefire Hall of Fame quarterback. Won multiple Super Bowls. He's at home. You have the ball ready to score and win the game. It appeared you had just won the game moments ago. I have no problem with it. You would expect Roethlisberger to make a better decision in that particular aspect, in that particular time, but he didn't. And the Patriots, once again, make a play, find a way to win the game. As you said, now they could potentially have home field advantage throughout the postseason. Very difficult to go into Foxborough. I thought this game yesterday was more important for Pittsburgh than it was for New England on a couple of levels. First off, the mental standpoint. I don't care what New England's record is, and I still believe that they have flaws. They have holes. They're very vulnerable. And I think that was on display yesterday. But from a mental aspect, Pittsburgh needed that win. You lost to New England at home. Now to get to the Super Bowl, odds are you're going to have to go on the road and beat this team. That was a huge game for the Steelers. I think the Patriots can win on the road. They proved it yesterday. And once we get to the postseason, they're going to be able to win on the road. For me, the Steelers needed to have that win yesterday. Much more important for Pittsburgh than it was for New England, at least in my opinion.
No, you and I touched on it last week. We both said it was more important for Pittsburgh to win that game because New England proves that they can go on the road and win.
Yep.
And you need home field advantage if you're Pittsburgh. You want that game at Heinz. Now, unfortunately, if you don't win out and you drop one of these last two and Jacksonville somehow, you know, wins out, Jacksonville's the two and you're the three. And you can't have that if you're Pittsburgh.
No, you need that first-round bye. I mean, the first-round bye is so important, especially when both the NFC and the AFC appear to be wide open. And I think it is at this moment. The NFC definitely more so than the AFC, but having a bye in the first round is going to be monumental. Now, that's not the only bad news for Pittsburgh losing that game. Antonio Brown tweets out that it's just a minor setback with a partial tear in his calf. Probably done for the regular season, but he will be back for the postseason. At least,
and that's why you need that bye. You have to give him an extra week because somehow, if you fall to that three spot, who knows if he's ready for that in 3 weeks?
Yeah, no, it's a fine point. I mean, the Steelers have to find a way to win out. Do they win that game yesterday if Antonio Brown plays the entire game?
Probably. Because that last play, that's his route, and he makes that catch.
You text me during the game and said, wow, New England's defense is not very good.
They're putrid. And you could see that last play where they gave up a little 10-yard crossing route, and Juju Smith-Schuster goes 70 yards down the sideline and then up to the middle of the field. So, yeah, their defense has to get healthy. They got to get better, but they were bad yesterday.
Shakti didn't score on that play.
I thought he was going to score.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And you almost, if you're New England, you kind of maybe try to let him score with time left.
Well, apparently not. Like, because that's out of the playbook for New England now. They always find a way to creep out wins.
They do. They get the breaks, and they find ways, like you said, to eke out wins. And again, yesterday, they found another way.
Well, there's another NFL game tonight. We get the Falcons and the Buccaneers. This is a big game. Tampa Bay has had a forgettable season, to say the least. But with Seattle losing to the Rams and losing in dominant fashion yesterday...
My Rams.
Your Rams, who you have said, best team in the NFC. You like them to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not quite on that bandwagon yet, although yesterday was extremely impressive. They helped out the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints. They helped out one of those NFC South squads in a major way by getting this win over Seattle. The Seahawks look like a sunken team at this point in time. Atlanta gets a win tonight. And I think we have our six teams in the NFC.
I do, too. I'm with you. I don't think Seattle makes the playoffs. There's too much going on inside the locker room. Pete Carroll's lost that team. They're going back and forth with one another. So I think Atlanta's going to be that sixth seed.
As far as Seattle goes, right now they're sitting at 8. Detroit owns the tiebreaker over both Dallas and Seattle based on win percentage in conference games. And so there's a very long road for the Cowboys, a very long road for the Seahawks. The Cowboys got a much-needed win last night. They're still not out of it yet, but the way it's shaping up, if Atlanta just takes care of business tonight against a struggling Tampa Bay team, it should be home free. Our playoffs should involve three teams from one division if they can take care of business tonight. Monumental game.
And they should. Tampa Bay has a lot of guys out on the defensive end. Offensively, they've really struggled. So I think Atlanta handles it quite well tonight.
Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. The big story, and we're going to spend a whole segment on this, it's the last conversation, the last relevant, straight-up basketball conversation we will be able to have today about the career of Kobe Bryant. It's officially goodbye today. Once Kobe Bryant's jerseys hang in the rafters, there's no more talk about him without it being an abstract conversation, without talking about who's the greatest of all time. Having one of those conversations, it's the last relevant conversation about one of the greatest careers in basketball history. Tonight, he gets his numbers. And I say numbers because 8-24 going to the rafters at Staples Center. Pretty historical night for the game of basketball.
Yeah, the greatest player in Los Angeles Lakers history,
I agree.
In my mind. And he's the first player in NBA history to have the number 8 retired. That's the first number that's retired that's 8.
Hmm.
And I believe it's the 7th player to have the 24 retired. So tonight, he's the greatest Laker of all time, and it's going to be a special time.
Yeah, I know that some of the older generations, the older listeners would argue with that, and they would say Jerry West, and they would say Magic Johnson. And while I believe you've put together a fair argument, the fact is Jerry West won one championship. Kobe Bryant won 5. Magic only played 12 years with the Lakers. Kobe played 20. Kobe won a championship with two different cores, which I think gets overlooked a lot in the game of basketball. I'm with you. I think he's the greatest Laker of all time. That's not a slight towards Magic or Jerry West, but when you look at the body of work...
Or Kareem
even. I'm looking at the body of work. Kareem, you know, the one thing I would say about Kareem, well, yeah, he also won a championship with another team as well.
Yeah.
So, to me, Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time, and he will be immortalized at Staples Center tonight. not just the Lakers and Warriors. That game's on NBA TV tonight, by the way, at 8:30. We take a look at some of the other matchups. 5 p.m. tonight, we get New York at Charlotte. Boston travels to meet Indiana. We get Miami at Atlanta as well. 6 o'clock hour, Philly at Chicago. The Jazz make their return to KOAL. They travel to beat the Houston Rockets. We get Portland at Minnesota. Denver at OKC. Phoenix will travel to meet Dallas. And we get the Clippers at the Spurs. That's a quick look at everything that's happening in the national sports front. We're going to talk to Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Spartan boys basketball team here in just a moment. And also, we'll talk more Kobe Bryant on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Time to talk local sports. We got a quick recap during that last commercial break. The Emory Spartan basketball team playing lights out right now. Big win over South Summit. That's a good game, a good team. And Emory finds a way to battle back after struggling offensively in the first half. They still put up 45 points in the second half to grab the win. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that and more, we have Emory High School basketball coach Todd Jeffs. Coach, as always, fun to get you on the show. Thank you.
Well, it's always good to be here, Jordan.
Coach, it's been a really fun time for you guys as far as the basketball team goes. You guys have put together a really good strand of basketball, and it really goes back to the last time you and I talked. Entering the game against Carbon, you guys were 2-2. Picked up a big 42-point win against Carbon. That kind of carried over. It was a 43-point win against Mesa Prep, and then an 8-point win against South Summit. It's been a pretty good strand of basketball.
Well, it has, and like I've talked to you before, the biggest thing for me in this preseason is just to get better, and I think that's one thing that I see in our team is each game we're getting better and finding different ways to do things and kind of refining some of the stuff that we want to do. And we're starting to get a little bit crisp on some of our sets, and that's something we've been really lacking on, but we relied on them pretty heavily against South Summit and got some good shots out of it, and kids knocked down shots. And then, you know, Ty Butler was just really special, and so that was fun to watch him shoot it again. And he's been really consistent that way so far.
Yeah, we can talk about Ty. I mean, he's leading the state right now in three-point makes. It's quite the pace. I mean, he's knocked down 27 three-point shots in just, what, 8 games, I think, so far this season. So, I mean, all in all, he's played really, really good basketball.
Well, he has. He shot the ball real well, and, you know, he's big enough to get his shot off over somebody smaller that they put on him. And then, you know, quite often he's drawn the bigger guy that is more of a help side type guy. And so that guy doesn't want to chase him out to that 3-point line. And so he's been able to find his open shots. And the funny thing with Ty in our offense is we don't run an awful lot of plays just to get him the ball. What he's finding is he's just spotting up and he's got a real good knack of finding that open area. And our guys are finding him and he's shooting with confidence. And that really gives our team a big boost.
At 27 makes in 7 games is definitely an accomplishment. Is that a pace that you could see, not only Tyler, but, I mean, any kid in the state? Can you keep that pace up over the course of a season?
Oh, I think there's kids that are able to. The good thing that I think might allow Ty to keep it up is that he's got a great shooter's mentality. He just doesn't seem to get shook if he misses a shot or two, and he's taken the same shot if he's missed 10 in a row that he is if he's made 10 in a row. And that's kind of uncommon, especially with high school kids. I think even in the pros and college kids, you see them miss a few shots and their confidence gets shaken a little bit and they're a little less willing to take that next shot. But Ty's not like that. He's really, really got a great shooter's mentality, and he's very willing to take any shot at any time during the game. And so far he's been making them, and that makes it easy for us.
If we talk about the win over South Summit, Coach, it's, again, a pretty good basketball team that'll play you physical. I mean, that's kind of the mindset of South Summit. It was a slow start, actually facing a deficit at halftime, but that offense picked up in the second half once again. And you go back to the two previous games, you guys could have scored 100 points in the varsity played all 4 quarters. That is just something that's unheard of. I mean, you're playing against 3A competition, and you're finding ways to put in 40, 45-point halves. I mean, it's just not something that you see too often, considering that a half is only 16 minutes of game time.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're saying is exactly right. We're playing a lot faster. We're shooting the ball real well. When when we shoot the ball well and it's going in, it's pretty fun to watch. But, you know, like you said, it's a little deceiving. You watch the pros play, and they're putting up 100 and 120 point games. But truthfully, their game time is about, you know, 1.5 times more than what we're facing. And so to put up points like we've been able to do is really a good accomplishment. And at the same time, I think we're playing some decent defense. You know, we're not phenomenal defensively. We're not real physical, and we're not just locked down, you know, grinded out type of a defensive team, but we're disruptive. And I think our guys are getting out in those passing lanes, and we're scoring quite a bit in transition off some turnovers and that kind of thing. And that really helps our speed of play as well. And our kids have really bought into what we're trying to do. They're excited. You know, they're really playing fast and having fun with each other. And, you know, it's not a team that's selfish at all. Everybody's really willing to pass the ball and make that next pass. And it's a fun bunch to coach.
I'm glad you bring that up, Coach, because I've noticed this year there's been some instances, you know, go back to the game against Mazer where Kyson was just on fire in that for a bad shot just because it's a heat check type moment. I mean, he's still looking to find the open guy. Vice versa, as far as Cade Brazier goes or Tyler Butler, it doesn't matter if these guys are hitting three or four shots in a row. They're still looking to find the open guy, which is something that's hard to that's a hard mentality for a kid to have, especially when you're having success.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I, you know, give our kids a lot of credit for it and the hard work that they've put in, and they're really, you know, kind of focused on making the right basketball play. I don't think any of them are really focused on getting their own points or feel slighted if they're not getting their shots. They're just they keep coming down possession by possession and trying to make the right basketball play. And they make mistakes, you know, and I'm being patient with them, and they're young. You know, we finished the game with South Summit, I think, with two sophomores and two juniors on the floor for the last 6 or 7 minutes. You know, and Easton Gordon was the lone senior out there, and he's playing hurt. And, you know, so it's just a fun bunch. You know, we're kind of in that innocent climb phase where we don't care who's getting the credit. We're just happy that we're playing successfully, and, you know, we just need to keep making that last.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Boys basketball team. Coach, now that you've logged three consecutive wins against 3A competition, South Summit's a very, very good win. Over the course of seven games, how have you seen this team evolve? What are some of the aspects that you've seen improvement on quickly?
Well, the one thing that, you know, I think we talked about it before the season started, my biggest concern was rebounding. And we've actually rebounded the ball really, really pretty well. You know, South Summit is kind of our team's worst nightmare. They're big, they're physical, they're athletic, they're very aggressive. And we got beat in the rebounding department, but only by two over the entire game. And we didn't give up a lot of second chance points to them. And so that's huge for us. If we can do that, we're going to be competitive. And then if you do that and combine it with some good shooting, we're just, you know, we're pretty explosive that way. So the one thing that from the preseason that I'm really taking is our rebounding ability. We're doing a much better job than I anticipated rebounding the ball. And defensively, like I said a second ago, you know, we're not real strong and physical, but we're disruptive. And our guys are really, you know, anticipating that next pass and trying to get a hand on it and letting our defense create some offense for us, and that's been a big plus for us as well.
Now, this could be a pretty important week. I mean, Grantsville on Wednesday, that's a pretty good basketball team. They're sitting at 6-2 right now, and you take a look at how they have fared against some of the competition. I mean, their only losses are to Cypress and Kearns. They've scored a big win over Manti. They beat Cedar pretty handedly. That's a good challenge. And then after that, one more non-league tilt before it's league play, and that'll be against Union, a team that's raced out to a 2-0 start in region play in the 3A classification. It's an interesting next couple of games for this basketball team.
Yeah, it really will be, and I think, you know, Grantsville, like you were talked about, they've won a lot of ball games, but it's going to be a good test for our guys because they're big and physical, bigger and more physical than South Summit, and then they extend all their pressure to full court and half court, and they mix it up quite a bit, and they really want to make the game a 94-foot game affair, And so we're just trying to, you know, get better. And it's a great opportunity for us to face full court pressure, something we haven't seen a lot of. Our guys handle the ball real well, so I anticipate us picking it apart and being able to score off it a little bit. But at the same time, you know, it's a big challenge for us because they are big and physical, and so that's something we got to step up and answer to.
Coach, you did allude a little bit earlier that Easton Gordon was playing hurt. He missed the game against Mesa, comes back against South Summit. It's one of those really weird injuries. I mean, a tailbone injury is something that I don't know if you can really do much treatment on it. I mean, what's the best way to cure an injury like that?
Well, I think he's really on track to try to get it cured, and I think, you know, the most logical or the best way is to rest it, but you know, he's so hungry to play that he doesn't want to really rest it. And we did sit him the one game, and he was feeling better. And I'm sure he was sore Saturday morning, and he went and got some more treatment. And, some, you know, he's got a couple of doctors with him, and he's doing everything asked of him. And the best thing for him might be this Christmas break coming up to get completely healthy for that region play. But he's a tough kid, you know. I thought he really made a difference in the South Summit game. Early in the fourth quarter, he came off the bench again and hit a three and a two that kind of went from a 3 or 4 point game to a 10 point game, and that's kind of where it stayed the rest of the game. And I thought that little series where he hit those back-to-back baskets really gave us a boost and gave us a little bit of a comfortable lead to finish that game off.
You mentioned that, Chris, break. Only one more game before you guys go into a Christmas break, and then you play one game against Union, and then you get another break off. And coaches approach the breaks a little bit different. I know in previous conversations I've had with you, you put a lot of emphasis on it because the basketball season is such a grind. And once you get into 2017, I mean, we're talking anywhere from 2 to 3 games a week consistently the rest of the year.
Yeah, it is, you know, basketball, like you said, it's really a 4-month season. It's the longest season in high school sports here in Utah. And so I think for most guys, you know, that rest is important. I think it's important to get away and get refreshed. You know, you've got that 2 or 3 kids every year that if they're in the gym 6 or 7 hours a day, it's still not enough. But for the majority of the kids, I think they need that break and they need that time away. And so it sets up nicely with Christmas to get away from it and let kids, you know, just take a deep breath and analyze where they're at and then get refreshed for that region play that's, you know, 2 months long, basically.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk Emory basketball with you again. Thank you for the time. Congratulations on this brilliant stretch of basketball, and hopefully we can keep it going on Wednesday.
Well, that's what the plan is, Jordan, and thanks for all your help. And you know, just wish everybody a Merry Christmas and come watch the Spartans play sometime.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be entertaining. I mean, that's one thing. You guys get up and down the court. That's entertaining basketball for the spectators.
Yeah, it really is. It's fun to play, and it's fun to watch as well.
Coach, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, you take care, Jordan.
It's Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Spartan Basketball Squad. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, more basketball talk coming your way. Tonight, Kobe Bryant will have not one but two numbers raised into the rafters at Staples Center. That's always an important night for a legend in the game of basketball. Immortalized forever with some of the all-time greats. We'll talk about that, his career, and more when we return.
Listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a drain that never would come to me. Running down a drain.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM 750 AM. Big night in the NBA. Especially if you're a Los Angeles Laker fan. Take it one step further if you're a basketball fan. Tonight, Kobe Bryant will be immortalized at the Staples Center. He'll retire not one, but two of his jerseys. Number 8, number 24 will hang into the rafters. A legendary rafter, to say the least, when you look at some of the names. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Much appreciated.
Definitely. Had to get you on today because really looking at it, and this is kind of sad, but this is probably the last relevant without going abstract conversation that we will have about Kobe Bryant in sports talk radio. I mean, legitimately thinking about it, will always have the conversations about the greatest of, or you know, the best of his generation, or all-time greats. But when you look at relevant stories to the game of basketball in today's current game, this is probably the last day we have a chance to talk about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, unless he buys a team or, you know, gets part ownership of the Lakers one of these days, yeah, you're probably right, because he's not going to be a GM, he's not going to be a coach, he's not going to come back and play. Yeah, I really see that this is probably until he buys a team or buys something to do with the Lakers, whether it's something, small ownership here and there or whatever. So that's pretty much what it's going to be. But in terms of the Lakers, I mean, hey, he pretty much dedicated half his life towards the Lakers and their fan base, so. You know, there's no complaints at all. Kobe is a one-of-a-kind guy through all the greatness and all the downfalls. He's the best. He's the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, that may change shortly with some of the guys that are coming up, but from day one to day end, he's the best I have seen to this point. Again, there's some guys coming, but from what I've seen with my two eyes, he's been the best thus far.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's the way you word that, because this has kind of been my approach to it. I'm a little bit biased when it comes to Kobe Bryant. In fact, I have a daughter named Kobe. I love the Los Angeles Lakers, and I love Kobe Bryant. With that being said, for a player whose career I have been able to watch front to back, I've never seen anyone better. Now, you always have the conversation of who is the greatest of all time. Especially in our field, it's always a hot topic. And it's always funny to me how we compare players that we never got to watch front to back. I mean, we can sit here, we can talk about Michael Jordan. Look, his career went beyond my life. So I didn't get to watch all of Michael Jordan's career. I didn't get to watch all of Magic Johnson's career. I didn't get to watch all of Larry Bird's or Dr. J. I didn't get to watch any of Wilt Chamberlain. I got to watch the tail end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, I'm throwing out some of the greats of all time. For a player that I've been able to watch front to back, and I'm talking over the last 30 years, nobody has been better than Kobe Bryant in this 30-year span, and I will argue with anyone on that.
I mean, you definitely have an argument. I mean, he's done a lot of good things where you can really have a supporting argument. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to throw LeBron's name up. The one thing I would say is LeBron's career is not over quite yet. He's having an amazing run. He's doing some things we've done before, and if he keeps going on the path he's going, he's probably going to have, you know, people are going to think of him the same way we think of Kobe in terms of the best they've ever seen. Hey, he may be a lot of people's best they've ever seen, but from what I've seen from day one to day end, to me it's Kobe. Now, again, that could change. There's some guys coming up that are extremely good as well. I mean, Kevin Durant is having an amazing career as well. He's halfway in, you know, and with the way he's going on the team he's going, he has a chance to do some extraordinary stuff as well. So there's a couple of guys coming up, but, I mean, Kobe is the guy that these guys modeled their game after and took notes after. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of how things go. I mean, Kobe was the guy that took the ball from Michael, you know, in terms of not just being the best player in the league, but being the guy that people wanted to be like, they wanted to emulate. He's the guy that the kids, the premier guys, they pretty much modeled their game after and try to be like. And that's when you see the LeBrons and then you see the Durants and then you see all the other guys coming after that. And that's kind of how basketball goes. That's how the game, that's how the game evolves. It's a beautiful thing.
You talk about Kobe and then comparing him to LeBron or KD, you know, guys that are coming up now, and people are going to say, look, that's the greatest that I ever seen, you know, LeBron or KD. Tonight, to me, it's very symbolic having two jerseys up there over this guy's career, because when you see number 8 and you see number 24, this is one of the things that will always separate Kobe from LeBron, from KD, from D. Wade, from whoever it is, whoever you want to compare Kobe to. You want to compare him to MJ, you want to compare him to Magic, Bird, I don't care who, whoever you want to compare him to. When he has two numbers up there in the rafters, they literally represent two completely different careers. It's almost as if you were a movie director and you had, you know, director A handle the first, I don't know, hour of a movie and director B handle the second half of the movie. You're going to get two different visions. That's how I look at number 8 and 24. And one of the things that separates Kobe from everyone else, at least in my eyes, is the fact that this guy stuck it out with one team, even through ups and downs, demanding a trade, really not trusting the front office, having a different vision. He stuck it out. He played 20 years with one team. And it doesn't matter what great we talk about, Jameson. I can't think of another great who stuck it out and won two championships with two completely different cores. It's just unheard of, especially in today's game. I mean, look, LeBron has bounced around from team to team, leaving Cleveland to go to Miami to win a ring, coming back to a very good group in Cleveland to win a ring. KD couldn't get over the hump. He had to go join a few other All-Stars. Kobe stuck it out with one franchise, and he won multiple championships with two different cores. It's unheard of.
It's very impressive, especially in this era where you have free agency and, you know, you have guys going from team to team. And, you know, basically the norm is to go to a different team if things don't work out, to go to a different team. But at the same time, you know, Kobe comes from the same era that Tim Duncan and Dirk come from, where if you're on a team and you have pretty good ownership, you kind of stick it out. You know, I can't blame the players here because most players don't have a chance to play for the Lakers. The Lakers, you know, up until recently have had the best, you know, organization front office-wise and personnel-wise. You know, it was the Lakers. It's the best brand in basketball. So, you know, the things were pretty solid and stable up front for a very long time throughout his team there. A lot of players can't say the same. That's one of the best things about being a Lakers. You get treated like royalty, and it's a great organization. Now, some things change over the last few years, and things are getting back on track. But, you know, there are some times where things were kind of rocky, like you mentioned. It looks like things are getting, you know, back to normal. But I can't fault anyone for leaving if there's a bad situation. And, heck, Kobe almost left. There was a chance where there's a couple of deals on the table where he could have left. He could have said, hey, you know, I'm on Chicago. You know, like, we're going to get Luol Deng and Ben Gordon and a couple other guys and some picks or whatever. And I think there's a trade with Detroit with, like, Rip Hamilton and some picks and some other player. Like, so there was things, but at the end of the day, it stuck out, and the Lakers made it work. He made it work, and it was best for everyone involved because the Lakers aren't the same without Kobe and vice versa. The two go together for better or for worse. They go together, and it's a 20-year marriage that really, well, beyond 20 years, but it's a 20-year relationship that has pretty much, you know, he's endeared himself to all the fans and people of Los Angeles and the people who rep the fan base across the world.
Again, our guest right now is Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. You mentioned Tim Duncan. I'm going to throw Dirk Nowitzki in that category as well. With the way the NBA has changed, and I like to call it the fraternity mindset, it's not an us versus them type deal anymore. It's a family. Players are a family. It doesn't seem like the loyalty for players necessarily lies within the organization as it does with each other, some of the guys that they grow up around. And look, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's not what I grew up watching, but at the same time, you have kids coming into the league now, 18, 19 years old. They turn into men with these kids that they come into the league with, if that makes sense. So, again, I'm not saying anything negative about the fraternity mindset. But when we see Kobe's 8-24 go up tonight, there are two other jerseys that will signify the end of an era in the NBA, and that's Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki. Outside of these three players, I don't know that we ever see a superstar spend upwards of 20 years with a franchise and make significant contributions in the process, such as five championships if we're talking about Kobe, or if we're talking about Duncan, or a championship if we're talking about Dirk Nowitzki. These three guys signify the end of an era in the NBA.
You're correct. But also remember, those three guys play for the Lakers, the Spurs, and the Mavericks. All those front offices have great track records in terms of stability, in terms of knowing how to put together a roster, knowing how to put together a franchise, and being contenders for most of the time they were there. I mean, the Spurs have been contenders for 20 years. Same thing with the Mavericks. For the most part, up until recently, they've been in the playoffs. I think they had a streak of like 16 or 17 years of being in the playoffs, when before it was like the opposite. They hadn't made the playoffs for like 15 or 16 years. So they had, you know, those two other teams were very, very solid, and those two teams really had a foundation from the top on down, and we don't see that enough in the league because there's not enough owners who are dedicated to putting a quality basketball product on the court. However, there's one guy you didn't mention that is the new age version that has a chance.
Russell Westbrook.
And that's Curry. To Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Okay. I could see that. I could see Steph Curry. I do. You know, maybe I want to throw Russell Westbrook in that as well, because to me, he's just cut from that 80s cloth. I mean, he's a raw savage. He's the closest thing to Kobe today.
But here's the thing. Here's the issue with Russ. If this thing in OKC blows up this year, which is a high possibility it does, and they go out in the first round, and both Melo and Paul George bounce, he's going to be by himself again. And he's going to look, he has four or five more years in OKC with no help in sight. It wouldn't surprise me if he says, you know what, I'm going to go elsewhere and try this thing that I tried here. It didn't work out. Steph hasn't made in the Bay Area. He just signed a five-year deal. 200 something million. They have a team that's going to be competing and contending for the next at least 4 years, as long as everyone stays healthy, if not longer. By that time, he would be close to like 13 or 14 years in. He's a guy I can see playing close to 20 years or right around that time. same team. He's going to have a statue. Whenever they build that stadium up in San Francisco, he's going to have a statue in front of that, because without him, none of this stuff is ever possible. Russ is probably going to have a statue, too. It's going to be a while, but he's not going to have the same hardware as other guys we mentioned earlier in the show.
It's a fun conversation as well. Jameson, before I let you go, we've talked a lot about Kobe Bryant. You and I have had countless conversations about Kobe, be it here on Drive Time Sports or on the Triple Threat podcast. We've also had several guests come in. I've had a chance to interview Kobe. You've had a chance to interview Kobe. That guy right there signifies everything that I love with the game of basketball. At the end of the day, when you look back on his career, I think you're hard-pressed to find a more fascinating individual. I think you're more hard-pressed to find a better career that will actually, you can visually see the ups and downs and what he was able to overcome, be it his rookie season, putting up the air balls in Utah, to winning three championships, to going through the whole Colorado situation and the fallout with Shaquille O'Neal and playing with three other Hall of Famers for a season in which they came up short, to demanding a trade, to sticking it out, putting up unbelievable numbers, scoring 81 points in a game, winning two more championships, wearing number 24, winning an MVP, and then closing out his career with 60 points. You're hard-pressed to find a more stellar career that is so fitting for a storybook.
Yeah, the 60 points to end it is amazing. Like that, especially at home, like that's really amazing. And all the nerds out there who talk about PR and efficiency, you know what? Sometimes it's not about that. Like a lot of times you can measure efficiency and all that. It sounds good. I get it. That's the area we're in. But sometimes the numbers can't tell you what a bucket does to somebody when you get a tough basket over somebody, how demoralizing that is to the defender that's trying their best. You know, you can talk about PER, efficiency rating, all the O rating, all that stuff. I don't care anything about that stuff a lot of times, because when you're looking at a game, when you're watching a game, especially in a close game, you can't measure when somebody comes down and hits three shots in a row and what that does to a defender, whether it's Tony Allen defending Paul George or whether it's some random two guard. You can't measure that. So that's why I think a lot of the nerds and the stat geeks out there, they kind of have to find a way to measure both the analytical side and the real eye test, real life side, because there's certain things the numbers just can't tell.
You know, even going past that, there's a specific moment in Kobe's career that I'd be doing a disservice if we did not talk about. We're going to remember him standing on the scores table holding up five. We're going to remember him, as a teenager winning the dunk contest, you know, winning his first championship and jumping into Shaq's arms, feeding up the lob to Shaq in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. I mean, we go on and on. I mean, there's all these moments of Kobe Bryant's career that we are going to remember. Really, though, looking at what he brought to the game and even why rivals who hate Kobe on the court respect him on nights like tonight, I mean, is there a bigger moment from an inspiration standpoint than him tearing an Achilles, stepping up and knocking down two free throws in a must-have game?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I remember. Here's the thing. I remember the game before that where, like, his last great, great game besides the 60-point game where he put up, like, over, I think it was, like, 47 and, like, 15 or something crazy. Like, he had a crazy stat line. And in Portland, you know, that was Dame's rookie year. You know, Dame was having a phenomenal game. I think he had like 35. So it was a crazy game back and forth. Like, it's on the way to win. And I was like, man, like, Kobe's really willing this team to get to the playoffs. Like, if they get in, if they get the right matchup, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, he really willed them to, you know, he got them in a decent position. And the Golden State game, he had kind of fell down a few times. And it was kind of weird. It was like, all right, he should maybe come out. You know, maybe he should come out because, you know, his legs were kind of just like, you know, failing him. His body was failing him, but he kept on trucking, and he eventually tore his Achilles, and that was that. But, and then he made the two free throws. But yeah, I think a lot of it was the game before, because he really had nothing left. Like, he had absolutely nothing left, but he put like all his, I mean, he put everything into that game. I mean, they had to have a game there, you know, trying to get into the playoffs, and he won it. And that was impressive. That was really impressive.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's just one of those moments. I'll never forget it. I mean, I've seen guys tear their Achilles that have to be carried off the court, and that's not an insult. I mean, that's a devastating injury. We see this all the time. If it's baseball, if it's football, you got to be carted off the field. This guy stood up, walked up, hit two foul shots, and then walked off the court. And I think that just kind of signifies everything. I mean, I think it's a true picture of everything that was Kobe Bryant's career.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, he did it his way, and not a lot of people can do it that way. A lot of people will have to get their careers chosen for them or things happen, but he did it his way, and it worked out at the end of the day. I mean, I don't think anyone can complain about a 20-year career, five championships, a bunch of all-star games, all that. I don't think anyone can really say that's a good, you know, I don't think anyone can say that's a bad thing. I just don't think so.
Jamison Welsh, I believe the hype, NBA.com, joining us to talk about Kobe Bryant getting not one but two numbers in the rafters tonight in Staples Center as the Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors. Jamison, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again for the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back on Drive Time Sports, set to put the final touches of this edition on the show. Can't miss TV tonight. Kobe Bryant gets his number retired. Also, we get Monday Night Football. Travis, a big one. Tampa Bay, Atlanta. Who gets the win?
Atlanta. I think Atlanta wins this game 30-10.
I think they win it going away. And with that, really, we go into the final 2 weeks of the regular season with still some prayers for some teams trailing by a game in the postseason, but Atlanta controls their own destiny. The defending NFC champs, I like them tonight, too. I think they win by 2-3 scores. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. I got to thank Coach Todd Jeffs and, of course, Jamison Welsh for taking out the time to join us on the show. We will catch you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be safe. We are out.